Since the start of the conflict, several countries have announced export restrictions on fuel or implemented fuel rationing measures. We have not done so far. There has been no need to do so. Global energy majors and trading companies have a sizable presence in Singapore. We are the world's third largest oil trading hub and the sixth largest refinery export hub. These capabilities were built up over decades. It is a result of a deliberate long-term strategy. Today, they underpin our energy and fuel resilience. Because of this, we are deeply connected to global flows of energy, and that gives us access to diverse sources of energy and fuel supplies. So we are able to respond to disruptions more flexibly, and we continue so far to have access to crude oil. And we have been meeting our domestic needs and international obligations for fuels. However, we do not know how long the disruptions will last. As Minister Tan Sri Ling said a fortnight ago, we need to brace ourselves for a bumpy ride ahead. No one can say what the situation will look like or will be like if there are more serious disruptions and if they last longer. We have secured crude oil supplies from alternative sources, but the pricing is different. We have to pay prevailing prices, which are much higher. Brent crude has surged as high as 70% since the increase in hostilities on 28 February. Singaporeans are feeling the impact in higher prices as fuel and energy costs rise. Prices are likely to remain high even after hostilities cease. Damage to infrastructure in the Middle East will take time to repair. We have already seen damage to large oil facilities in Saudi Arabia, Bahrain, other places. Even if the Straits of Hormuz fully reopens tomorrow, global oil and gas export capacity will not return to pre-conflict levels quickly. In the broader term, we are concerned about broader disruptions to global supply chains, which can affect goods critical to Singapore's economy and essential services. MTI is monitoring the situation closely and working with the industries. As for electricity, we have taken steps to reduce risks to disruption of our supplies to meet our electricity needs. And there are four aspects to this. First, our sources are diversified. Apart from the Middle East, we also import liquefied natural gas, LNG, from Australia, which is one of our key suppliers, the United States, and Mozambique. Gasco was set up last year to centralize gas procurement for the power sector. Gasco has begun buying replacement natural gas to replace the disrupted supply from Qatar. Second, while 95% of our electricity is generated from natural gas, our power plants can switch from natural gas to diesel when needed. Third, and relatedly, we have fuel reserves. These reserves comprise a mixture of natural gas and diesel. Some are owned by the government, some are owned by power generation companies. We are also planning to increase our fuel reserves. It will be costly, but we think it necessary. We have so far not tapped on our fuel reserves, nor have we implemented fuel rationing. The Energy Market Authority, or EMA, also requires power generation companies to have pre-arranged contractual access to additional fuel. Fuel suppliers are required to deliver the fuel to the power generation companies within a set number of days upon activation. and we are prepared, if necessary, to direct the power generation companies to exercise their legal rights to secure the additional fuel. That said, securing the additional fuel by the power generation companies may be subject to force majeure events. Some of the additional fuel may be sourced from overseas and may be subject to supply disruptions again. Fourth, EMA has strengthened regulatory requirements on electricity retailers in 2023. This ensures that they are sufficiently hedged and will be better able to handle an extended period of gas price volatility. The position we put ourselves in before the crisis and the steps we have taken since the crisis have helped us remain relatively stable. Nevertheless, if the supply disruptions increase and if more suppliers are unable to supply fuel or gas, then potential disruptions to our domestic energy and electricity supply cannot be ruled out. However, this remains a low probability scenario for now, though we continue to monitor developments closely. But prices will go up. DPM spoke earlier on the regulated electricity tariff. Even though the cost of gas accounts for almost half of the regulated tariff, this has so far only partially transmitted to the tariff price. If the conflict is prolonged, then we have to expect much sharper increases in electricity prices. The situation has caused many countries to take a closer look at their energy security. I'll make 2 points on our situation. First, on refineries. As I said earlier, we are a major refining center. When countries began imposing controls on their export of fuel, many asked us if we would still be able to supply them with refined fuel products. Some of these countries supply crude oil and other essential products to us. In turn, we supply them with refined products which they need. This creates a mutual interdependence. It keeps Singapore relevant in the international energy trade. And this has enabled us to have continued access to crude oil. Some have also questioned the role of refineries over the medium term, given our green transition. We remain committed to decarbonizing our economy, but as stated before, our path to net zero will depend on technological breakthroughs and sustained international cooperation. For now, the priority worldwide is energy security. Countries everywhere need to keep the lights on. Fossil fuel remains part of the global energy mix because renewable energy is not yet able to meet all of the demand. In that context, Singapore will continue to play our role as a refining hub. And we will continue to work with our refineries to improve their energy efficiency and reduce their carbon footprint. Second, we must continue to press on with our efforts to diversify our sources of energy. We have made good progress on domestic solar energy deployment. We have already achieved our 2030 target of 2 gigawatt peak in 2025. At the COS debate in March, the government announced that it would raise the target to 3 gigawatt peak. In the near term, we will continue to deploy solar energy domestically and pursue electricity imports from the region. In the medium to long term, we are assessing other sources of energy to diversify our fuel mix. One potential source is nuclear energy. Advanced nuclear energy technologies have the potential to provide safe, reliable, and clean baseload power. Nuclear fuel is energy dense and can be efficiently stockpiled. 5 uranium pellets, 1 inch tall, can generate the same amount of electricity as 1 Olympic-sized swimming pool of natural gas. But adopting nuclear energy requires very serious consideration. It needs to be studied very carefully to ensure that it is safe for deployment in or around Singapore. We have been building up the technical expertise to evaluate the technology as it develops, and we are partnering overseas governments and companies who are leaders in this field. We really need the best expertise on this. We will continue to study these very carefully and rigorously.